Good morning to everyone listening in. Hare Krishna to you. We're coming to you from Dallas, Texas. Shishi Radha Kalachanjidam. If you're in India, I'd say it's about 5 o'clock in the evening. You're listening in. You're here locally. We're very glad to have you with us, everybody. We're very glad to have you with us this morning. Today is one of our auspicious days in our Vaishnava calendar. It's the disappearance day of Sri Madhvacharya. We'll be speaking a little bit about him toward the end. Toward the end of our session today. Today we're going to be continuing our reading in the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 21. Text number 17. So those of you who are at home listening or maybe somewhere else, you've got a copy of the Srimad Bhagavatam handy, please turn to 11:21:17. And before we begin, we will offer our obeisances, offer our prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead to kindly bless us with His presence. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Janavallabha Girivara Dhari. Jaya Gopi Janavallabha Girivara Dhari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunda Vihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Nitai Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Bo. Jaya Om Vishnupad Paramahamsa Paribhajaka Charja Hasto Tarasata Sri Srimad's Divine Grace. A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Ki. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahamsa Paribhajaka Charja Hasto Tarasata Sri Srimad's Divine Grace. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Ki. Anantakoti Vaishnavrinda Ki. ISKCON BBT Founder Charja Srila Prabhupada Ki. ISKCON Guru Parampara Ki. Shri Rup, Shri Sanatan, Bhatta Raghunath, Shri Jeeva Gopal, Bhatta Das Raghunath, Sat Goswami Prabhu Ki. Namacharja, Srila Haridas Thakur Ki. Premse Kaho, Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhar, Shri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Rinda Ki. Shri Shri Radha Krishna, Gopa Gopinath, Shamakun, Radhakun, Giri Govardhan Ki. Shri Vrindavanam Ki. Shri Mathura Dham Ki. Shri Mayapur Navadvip Dham Ki. Shri Jagannath Puri Dham Ki. Shri Shri Radha Kalachanji Dham Ki. Ganga Devi Ki. Yamuna Mai Ki. Tulsi Devi ki, Bhakti Devi ki, Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda ki, Brihat Madanga Transcendental Book of Prasadam Distribution ki, Gaura Premananda. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories, to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Vastaya Bhutale Shimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinamane Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gaudapani Pachanine Nivashesha Shilivali Pasatade Shitanini. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam namaskritya naram chaiva narottamam devim sarasvatim yasam tato jayam udirayat nasta paraishva badreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati tamashloke bhakti bhavri nashtiki grantara shimad bhagavatam ki jai shila prabhupada ki jai. So this is text number 17 that we're going to be reading from today. And this is in the 21st chapter of the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. This chapter is entitled Explanations of the Vedic Path. So, as we usually do, we're going to recite the Sanskrit words. Sanskrit, for those of you listening in, maybe for the first or second time. Sanskrit is considered to be the oldest language on the planet. And it's also the language of the demigods.
Now, how old is it?
Pardon?
How old is Sanskrit?
Quite old. Older, older than I am.
Oh, okay. Thank you for clarifying.
Patita Pavan Prabhu was asking how old is Sanskrit language. And I don't think I've ever heard anyone say, but I would say that it's been going on for probably quite a few millions of years.
Now, is that the language in the spiritual world?
Language in the spiritual world, as far as we have understood, yes. Also language, I guess, that is spoken by the demigods and the higher planets within this material world. So the language is eternal? I would say it is. We consider that Krishna is eternal. We know that Krishna is eternal. And the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is non-different from Krishna, is also eternal. And the language in which the Srimad Bhagavatam is written and spoken is also eternal. That's my humble opinion. Text number 17 of the 11th canto, 21st chapter. Word-for-word translations. We'll pronounce the words first. Samana.
Samana.
Karmacharanam.
Karmacharanam.
Patitanam.
Patitanam.
Na. Patakam.
Patakam.
Otpatiko.
Otpatiko.
Guna.
Guna.
Sango.
Sango.
Na. Shayana, patati, adha. Now we'll recite it in its poetic form. Samana karma charanam.
Samana karma charanam.
Patitanam napatakam. Odpatiko guna sango. Nashayana patatyadha. Samana karma charanam. Patitanam napatakam. Otpattiko guna sango. Nashayana patatyadha. Samana karma charanam. Patitanam napatakam. Outpattiko gunaha sango. Nashayana patatyana. Anybody want to try that?
Patinanam napatakam Aupattiko gunaha sango Nashayana patatyadha Samakararanacharam Patitanam napatakam Utpattiko guna sango Nashayana patradha
Samana karma charanam
Samana karma charanam
Patitanam napatakam
Patitanam napatakam
Utpattiko guna sango
Utpattiko guna sango
Nashayana patatyadha
Nashayana patatyadha.
Very good. Word for word translations now into the English. Samana, equal, karma, of work, acharanam, the performance, patitanam, for those who are fallen, na, is not, patakam, a cause of fall down. Otpattika, dictated by one's nature. Guna, becomes a good quality. Sangha, material association. Na, does not. Shayana, one who is lying down. Patita, patati, fall. Adha, further down. Interesting purport or translation of this. Let's read the translation. The same activities that would degrade an elevated person do not cause fall down for those who are already fallen. Indeed, one who is lying on the ground cannot possibly fall further. The material association that is dictated by one's own nature is considered a good quality. This is interesting, interesting words coming from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So repeat with me. The same activities that would degrade an elevated person do not cause fall down for those who are already fallen. Indeed, one who is lying on the ground cannot possibly fall further. The material association that is dictated by one's own nature is considered a good quality. Wow. That last sentence, I'll repeat. The material association that is dictated by one's own nature is considered a good quality. That's the reason we have purports given by persons who are enlightened. So let's read the purport. Report by the translation and purport were by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. Purport. The Lord here further describes the ambiguity in ascertaining material piety and sin. Although intimate association with women is most abominable for a renounced sannyasi, the same association is pious for a householder who is ordered by Vedic injunction to approach his wife at the suitable time for procreation. Similarly, a brahmana who drinks liquor is considered to be committing a most abominable act, whereas a shudra, low-class man, who can moderate his drinking, is considered to be self-controlled. Piety and sin on the material level are thus relative considerations. Any member of society, however, who receives diksha, initiation into the chanting of the Lord's holy name, must strictly obey the four regulative principles of no eating of meat, fish, or eggs, no illicit sex, no intoxication, and no gambling. A spiritually initiated person neglecting these principles will certainly fall from his elevated position of liberation. Om Jnana Timirandasya Gananjana Salakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasma Shri Gurave Nama Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Stavidam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupahakada Maya Dharati Swapadantikam He Krishna Karuna Sundo Dinabando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Daptakan Janago Rangi Radhe Brindamaneshuri Vrishabhanu Suti Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Banchakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhye Vacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Nama Om Vishnu Badaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale, Srimate Tamal Krishna Goswaminiti Namane. Interesting text and purport today. Oh, Hare Bhoma, Kunti. The same activities that would degrade an elevated person do not cause fall down for those who are already fallen. Indeed, one who is lying on the ground cannot possibly fall further. The material association that is dictated by one's own nature is considered a good quality.
Read that last sentence again.
The material association that is dictated by one's own nature is considered a good quality. Now, how do we understand it? In other words, I think what the Supreme Lord is trying to tell us is that everybody has material propensities according to his own nature, and therefore, what is abominable for one person is not considered so abominable for another person, depending on the modes of material nature under which that person is operating or acting. So I think that that is not intended to give us license to do something that we think is, oh, well, it's my nature. It's my nature to use intoxication. It's my nature to have illicit sex. My nature to gamble. It's my nature to eat meat, fish, and eggs. I don't think that Lord Krishna is telling us that. In other words, whatever state we find ourselves in, we should always be looking for a path to improve our spiritual lives, our spiritual understanding. And that's where we all were, I'd say in our Western society particularly, that's where we were at the beginning of our path of Krishna consciousness. We had so many habits that seemed to be quite normal for the society that we were living in. Everybody was using intoxication. Everybody was having recreational sex. Everybody was, not everybody was gambling, except for maybe the fact that we gamble in the sense that we perform activities, not thinking that this may be the last moment of life that we have. So in other words, we're gambling that our lives are going to continue regardless of the activities we happen to be performing. On the other hand, if we consider that this today is going to be my last day on the planet, we might not perform some of those activities. So in a sense, then, the activities that we perform is a form of gambling, isn't it? All right, and so let's see, we said, eating of meat, fish, and eggs. Okay, so the four principles that we have come to accept as being appropriate for one who is serious about making advancement in spiritual life are the ones that we agreed to follow at the time we take our Nam Harinam initiation. And then based on what our spiritual master sees in our performance of Krishna conscious activities during the first year or so after we have taken our first initiation, he might choose to award us the second initiation, or the Diksha initiation. The initiation in which we receive the authority to chant the Gayatri mantras, of which there are seven, I believe. And we also, for men, we receive the authority to wear a Brahman's thread, which is used for chanting the Gayatri mantra by men. Women in our society are not given the sacred thread, but they do have all of the responsibilities that are given to the men to perform. In other words, they, according to their natures and according to the work that has been assigned to them by their temple authority, by their spiritual master, then they may act in a different way from their male counterparts. But nonetheless, they're still chanting the mantras, and the mantras are powerful. Now, how should we feel toward persons that we look around and see who have a lot of the bad habits that we also once had? Should we condemn them? Well, it appears here that Krishna is saying no. They're acting according to their nature. In other words, they're acting according to the influence of the modes of the material nature. So if a person is in the mode of ignorance, then he might be given to breaking all of the principles. But still, he can regulate, for example, the amount of liquor that he drinks, as is mentioned here in the purport. The disciples of Srila Prabhupada have written the purport. A brahmana who drinks liquor is considered to be committing a most abominable act, whereas a shudra, a low-class man who can moderate his drinking, is considered to be self-controlled. So there are different standards by which different people are judged. And we have to be very careful if we are on the spiritual path, that maybe we've made a little bit of advancement ourselves. Maybe we have a little bit of attraction to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Maybe we even find some pleasure in the chanting of the Lord's holy names. But do we look on others who maybe haven't risen to that platform of being able to renounce the seriously bad habits? And we're not supposed to look down on them, but rather, according to Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, we're not supposed to disturb the minds of the innocent, but rather we're to engage them in acts of devotion. So we should understand then that only by the grace of the Supreme Lord and the devotees of the Lord have we been able to rise above some of these qualities that we see in other people that we're likely to criticize them for, even if those persons happen to be practicing devotees in the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. If they still have some habits that are not so good, then we're not, it appears that we're not to criticize them. Now, if the habits that a person has, on the other hand, are disturbing to the society of devotees, the community of devotees, then it's up to our authorities, our temple authorities then, to act. In other words, it may be that a person who uses intoxications and still comes to the temple and performs some service or performs other duties such as the chanting of the holy names, it could be that activity of using intoxication can become a disturbance to others in their society. In which case, then, it is the temple president and his council, it is their position, then, to point out that fault to that individual and then to try to help him in some way to bring that habit under control. Sometimes it is very difficult to do that with a senior devotee, a person who's been around for some time. It is very difficult even for the temple president to approach that person and tell that person or give that person good advice, because the person might not have been known to accept good counsel when it had been given in the past. And so what is the temple president to do, or what is the temple council to do? Sometimes in particular situations, as Nityananda Prabhu, our temple president here, has pointed out to us, a group of us, sometimes we just have to wait and let Krishna act, because of the nature of the person that we need to offer some counsel to. It's not possible to reach that person with our words. And maybe there is not another devotee in the community who has such a relationship with that person that other devotee could go up and talk with them. Maybe there's not such a person available who has the confidence of that person who is committing some disturbing activity in the community. So anyhow, Krishna also states in the Bhagavad Gita that the devotee may accidentally fall down from his exalted position. And the term that has been used here is falling down from the position of liberation. In other words, if the devotee is acting in a liberated, it's the last sentence of the purport that is given. A spiritually initiated person neglecting these principles will certainly fall from his elevated position of liberation. So there are cases then which in our society in which well-known, highly respected individuals have given up their positions that they have gained in the society, either the position of sannyas or just simply the position of a very respected elder. And they have fallen down from the position that they were in, and devotees then are wondering, they're bewildered. How can this possibly happen? But then we have learned that Krishna's energy, his material energy, is extremely powerful. And even though it's considered to be his inferior energy, and we, the living entities, are considered to be the superior energy of the Lord, still, we are subject, because of our infinitesimal size, in comparison with the material nature, we're subject to sometimes the throes and problems that are brought on by Krishna's material energy. So whenever a person is affected like that, even though he or she might be in a very advanced position as a leader in the society or as a renunciate, a sannyasi in our society, still there is every possibility that they can be affected by the Lord's material energy. And we've seen that happen to a number of people. So the tendency, of course, is to say, how can that possibly happen? that person is not worthy to be in the position that he or she was in. They should be booted out of society. They shouldn't be permitted to come to the temple. Sometimes we hear words like that, you know, which are very hurtful to people. But we also know of one sannyasi, whose name I will not mention, who became attracted to a woman who was in somehow or other in his association. And it became obvious to the leaders of the temple where he was staying, where he was engaged. It became obvious to them that this person is having a fall down from a very advanced position of being a sannyasi. So they asked that person to, you should just go back and be with the wife that you left many years ago. And so that person confided in me that he got in touch with his wife and told her what he had been told by his temple authorities. And this wife says, I know you. I know who you are. And you should not come back and enter household life again. You should continue on serving as you've been doing, even though you might have to give up the ashram of sannyas. Still, you should serve in that capacity or serve in some capacity. Even if you have to give it up, you should still continue your service. She says, I know what your effect is on people. I know the effect that you have on people. And so you should not come back into household life. And his wife told him that. And so that's a very exalted position for a former wife to take, to give her husband the advice, I know you, I recognize your good qualities. No, you should not come back and live with me in household life again. No, you're beyond that already. And so that person took a very, very lowly position, just became a brahmachari again, and just served, did the most menial task, as I understand it, around the temple that he was engaged in. But because of the association of his godbrothers, he was eventually raised back up to the position that he had formerly been in. And he was restored to the position of respectability. And the same person told me that as far as he knew, he was the only person that had left the order of sannyas in our society, our international society. The only person who had left and then was reinstated into the position of sannyasi in our society. No, I can't tell you that. I can't tell you who it was. But anyhow, it's a person that is now he is highly respected. He's performed all kinds of noble service since his return to sannyas. And it's as though, it's what Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, that a person may experience some fall down, but he will quickly right himself. He will quickly right himself. And so I know of other persons who have also given up the position of leadership they had. They might or might not have been sannyasis, but they have gone away for a time and then they have come back in performing service, and they're highly respected by the people that they're around, even though sometimes the activities they performed brought them some state of ill fame. In other words, they were criticized harshly, and there are persons who still will criticize those personalities for what they've done in the past. But I have found, and in my own experience, that if I criticize somebody else for something that they're doing that seems to be rather out of order or out of the ordinary for a person who is advanced, then I have to be really, really careful, because the material energy might just come and smash me in the very same way that it has smashed these persons. So it is better then for us not to criticize others too harshly for the position that they're in or for what they have done in the past. If they have come back and righted themselves again, and some people have taken up very responsible roles in our international society. I know of one such person in Mayapur who has taken up a leadership role in the building of this new Vedic planetarium, Temple of the Vedic Planetarium. Very responsible role, highly respected still by persons, even though at one point in time he was a sannyasi and he had disciples that he initiated. So the advice then is, and what we're reading here by Krishna, is that one is going to be affected by the circumstances in what, by his own nature, let's say. The material association that is dictated by one's own nature is considered a good quality. So it may be good for that person, but it may not be good at all for another person who is in a different aspect of, I should say, under the auspices of the material energy of the Lord in a little bit different way. All right, so that's all I'm going to say about the Bhagavatam verse for today. We're going to be reading from a little bit from Madhvacharya Stephen Knapp, who is known as Satyaraj, I believe, has written a number of short biographies of the Vedic saints or our acharyas in the Vaishnav lineage. So, but I want to ask, first of all, does anyone have any comments to make on the text that we've been trying to explicate a little bit today? Wait just a moment. We have a microphone here, Mother Kunti. Mother Kunti is going to give us some words of wisdom. Is it turned on? It's got a switch on there. Patita Pavan Prabhu, would you look at the microphone, please? All right, we don't have it working right now. Again, as it has been in the recent past, we're technologically challenged here at Radhakala Janji Dham. We're not quite advanced enough in our technology to have things operating as they're supposed to. Mother Kunti, go ahead. I'll repeat what you have to say so others can hear. Mother Kunti is pointing out that this thing of criticizing others is like the razor's edge, and that when you point your finger at someone else, you got three fingers. Or, well, if you include your thumb, you got four fingers pointed back at yourself. So yes, that's the one fault that is really really disturbing then to society, isn't it? To our society is to criticize other people harshly, maybe we can say that it's a problem, because when we criticize others, then there's every chance that we ourselves are going to experience the same kind of thing. And I've experienced this myself. I know that it's true. That you criticize others. So even if you're in the position of a temple management, you still have to be careful. Even if you have to try to correct the behavior of someone else in the community, you still have to be very careful. And Nityananda Prabhu, I'll have to admire him for his ability to do that, to approach a person in the proper way that the person actually gains from that chastisement that he's receiving. Mother Kunti? So in other words, it's a matter of love. And somebody said something recently that really resounded in my mind, and that is that Krishna consciousness is love disguised as philosophy. I really like that. Is love disguised as philosophy? And it's so obvious when you're around persons who have some experience in Krishna consciousness, who have actually made some real advancement. And we have persons like that here in our own community who, in spite of apparently becoming a little angry at someone for something they have done, they still wind up showing that person that they really love them. They're concerned about them. And they don't want them to continue acting in such a way that's going to cause them to have some kind of fall down themselves. Anything else? Okay. Samuel, do you have a question or a comment? What is it?
Yeah, you go to the spiritual world, practice bhakti yoga. You're already in the spiritual world. Well, this is the spiritual world right here. God, how it can be done.
Okay, so yes, Samuel, we have to do the best. We do the best we can. But when we're told by other people that we're doing something that is causing disturbance to the other devotees, then we have to pay attention to that. Take good advice, in other words. So it's really easy to look around and find fault in other people, isn't it? But it's not so easy to accept when someone finds fault in us. Because we immediately want to get on the defensive, don't we? And I've had that experience also, that I become very defensive, and then later on, when I regain my sanity and my composure, I get a little disturbed with myself that I got angry because somebody else was trying to correct my behavior. You know, they saw a fault that I couldn't see. And yet it disturbed me that someone would even find a fault in me, of all people. Maybe you've heard me recite this little saying that I've heard many, many years ago. I think an uncle of mine who taught a little Sunday school class for a bunch of us kids, I think he said this, it's something like this. There's so much good in there's so much good in the worst of us and so much bad in the best of us that it behooves all of us to say nothing about the rest of us. I don't know if I can say it again, Petita Paul. There's so much good in the worst of us and so much bad in the best of us that it behooves all of us to say nothing about the rest of us. So anyhow, these are a few simple points that I got from the reading for today, from this text and from the report. And again, we can be very, very thankful that the devotees of Krishna, devotees of the disciples of Srila Prabhupada have given us such nice purports, enlightening purports to go with these translations, because even well, you know, we started off with just the Sanskrit. You know, what success would we have being able to translate the Sanskrit into English? And even with a word-by-word translation, we would still have trouble putting it into a sentence that made sense. And even after having a translation that has been put into English sentences, we still have trouble understanding what the Supreme Lord is saying. So then we have those persons who are following in the footsteps of Srila Prabhupada that are giving us the best of their understandings and the purports that they have written. So we can very much appreciate those personalities who took the time and the effort to translate those parts of the Srimad Bhagavatam that Srila Prabhupada was not able to complete. He left some of the work for his disciples to do. So, Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Now, I want to read just some portion of this nice biography that is written by Satyaraj Prabhu about Sri Madhavacharya, since this is his disappearance day. And I think we have about 3 minutes left before 8:30. So if you need to go, then please feel free to do so. But we'll get started anyhow. According to the Sri Kurama inscriptions of Narahari Tirtha, his disciple, Sripad Madhvacharya was born between 1238 and lived for 79 years until 1317 A.D. And I guess this is Christian calendar. This is confirmed in the Anu Madhava Charita. According to the authorized biographies compiled by his disciples shortly after his passing away, Sri Padmadava was born in the village of Tulunada, which is located about 8 miles to the southeast of the city of Udupi in Karnataka. He came from a family of Shivali Brahmanas and was the son of Madhyageha Bhatta. In his Chaitanya Charitamrita commentary, this is Madhya Leela, chapter 9, Sripad Bhaktivedanta Swami comments as follows. In his childhood, Madhavacharya was known as Vasudev, and there are some wonderful stories surrounding him. It is also said that his father piled up many debts, and Madhavacharya converted tamarind seeds into actual coins to pay them off. When he was 5 years old, he was offered the sacred thread. A demon named Maniman lived near his abode in the form of a snake. And at the age of 5, Madhavacharya killed that snake with the toe of his left foot. When his mother was very disturbed, he would appear before her in one jump. He was a great scholar even in childhood, and although his father did not agree, he accepted sannyas at the age of 12. When he was only 12 years old, Madhavacharya left home and accepted the renounced order of life under the guidance of Achyuta Preksha, his sannyas guru. Madhava's sannyas name was Purnapragya Tirtha. His deep study of the scriptures was unparalleled and had convinced him of the uselessness of the Advaita interpretation of Vedanta. He was inspired to revive the original and pure interpretation of Vedanta, which promotes personal theism. He was to do this on the basis of a profound and innovative interpretation of the scriptures for which he was to become famous. This interpretation is known as Dvaita-Dvaita-Vada, or pure dualism. After his initiation, Purnapragya spent some time in the ashram of Achyuta Preksha, where he carefully studied the Vedanta commentaries of different acharyas, beginning with the Stasiddhi of Vimuktatman. But soon, Purnapragya's expertise in spiritual argument and his determination to establish personal theism as the conclusion of Vedanta grew to the point where he could defeat Achyuta Preksha in argument. Recognizing Purnapragya's superior scholarship, Achyuta Preksha made him the head of his ashram. And you remember that this person, Achyuta Preksha, was his sannyas guru. Then Purnapragya was also awarded the title Ananda Tirtha, by which he is often referred to in Vedic script in various scriptural literatures. After he became the temple authority, and I think this will be the last paragraph that we read on this because we're running out of time. After he became the temple authority in the ashram of Achyuta Preksha, Purnapragya began training disciples, preaching his interpretation of Vedanta and defeating many scholars in different schools of philosophy, including Buddhists, Jains, Advaitins, and various impersonalists, agnostics, logicians, and the practitioners of materialistic religion. His success in defeating all opposing scholars inspired him to tour South India in an attempt to preach the philosophy of personal theism and devotion to Vishnu far and wide. At this time, he had completely formulated all the details of his philosophical system, but had not yet committed his system to writing. Now, once again, I'll say that's going to end what we're reading today. But this is found on the internet at www.stephen-knapp.com/madhava.htm. So anybody that wants to read further on the lives of these Vaishnava Acharyas, including Sri Madhavacharya, can find it at stephen-knapp.com/whatever name you want to put in there. In this case, it's madhava.htm. So Srila Madhavacharya's Holy Disappearance Day, Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Shishi Radha Kalachanji Ki Jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnavrinda Ki Jai. Vanchakalpata Rubyascha. Kripa Sundabhyevacha. Patitanam Bhavanebhyo. Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah. Ananta Koti Vaishnavrinda Ki Jai.